Blog Talk Radio.
God's love for you goes on and on. When other hearts
have failed,
this love forgave from Calvary's cross. Where that love heart be strong and your faith arise as I give you what I know. Well, I know there's a God in heaven who saves, who delivers and heals, for he gave his son,
here at the Zoe Radio Network. I just love that song, Carmen. Hallelujah. Saved, delivered, and healed. Praise God. Well, today we're going to be concluding a reading of Dr. John G. Lake's sermon, Triune Salvation. We'll pick up just with a little bit that we covered before, and then we're going to go right on. Christ is a savior of the whole man. Of spirit, of the soul, of the body. When Jesus, at the Jordan, committed himself unto all righteousness to his Father, he committed his body, just as he committed his mind, and just as he committed his spirit. Christians have not been taught to commit their bodies to God, and therefore, they feel justified in committing them to someone else or something else rather than to God. Therefore, it is clear that in a whole salvation, it is just as offensive to God to commit the body to the control of man as it would be to commit the spirit to man for salvation. Salvation for the Spirit can only come through Jesus, through the blood of Christ, through receiving his Spirit. Salvation from natural thoughts and ways and the operation of the natural mind can only come through the natural mind being transformed into the mind of Christ. Salvation for the body is found in the same manner by committing the body now and forever to God. I wanted to go back and just share the scriptures that Dr. Lake's basing his sermon here on. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24, where Paul states, I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, who also will do it. This was a sermon Dr. Lake delivered in London, England and Washington, D.C., entitled Triune Salvation, again, based on 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24. Going on now, I'll pick up. No one would think of sending to any other power than God for a remedy for the spirit. There is no spirit that one could go to unless it is the spirit of the world or the spirit of the devil. And one goes not to either of these for the healing of the spirit or the mind. The real Christian is a separated man. He is separated forever unto God in all the departments of his life, and so his body and his soul and his spirit are forever committed to God. Therefore, from the day that he commits himself to God, his body absolutely in the hands of God as his spirit or his mind or soul, he can go to no other power for help or healing except to God. This is what gives such tremendous force to such scriptures as this, Jeremiah 17:5, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. 2 Chronicles 16 relates that Asa, the king of Israel, who in the 39th year of his reign became diseased in his feet, and in his disease he trusted not the Lord, but the physicians, and he died. Asa had been trusting God for many years by taking his little insignificant army and defeating the great armies that came against him. But when he became diseased in his feet, he trusted not the Lord, but the physicians. And that was the offense of Asa against God. The impression I wish to leave is this, that a hundredfold consecration to God takes the individual forever out of the hands of all but God. This absolute consecration to God, this triune salvation, is the real secret of the successful Christian life. When one trusts any department of his being to man, he is weak in that respect, and that part of his being is not committed to God. When we trust our minds or our souls and our bodies to man, two parts of us are out of the hands of God, and there remains only our spirits in tune with heaven. It ought not to be so. The committing of the whole being to the will of God is the mind of God. Such a commitment of the being to God puts one in the place where, just as God supplies health to the spirit and health to the soul, he trusts God to supply health to his body. Divine healing is the removal by the power of God of the disease that has come upon the body. But divine health is to live day by day and hour by hour in touch with God, so that the life of God flows into the body, just as the life of God flows into the mind or flows into the spirit. The Christian, the child of God, the Christ man, who thus commits himself to God, ought not to be a subject for healing. He is a subject of continuous abiding health. And the secret of life in communion with God, the Spirit of God, is received into the being, into the soul, and into the spirit. The salvation of Jesus was a redemption of the whole man from all the power of sin. Every whit. Sin in the spirit, sin in the soul, sin in the body. If salvation or redemption is from the power of sin, and every sin in our being, then the effects that sin produces in us must disappear and leave when the source is healed. Thus, instead of remaining sick, the Christian who commits his body to God becomes healed. Becomes at once, through faith, the recipient of the life of God in his body. Jesus gave us an example of how perfectly the Spirit of God radiates, not only from the spirit or from the mind, but from the body also. The transfiguration was a demonstration of the Spirit of God in the man, radiating out through his person, until the illumination radiated through his clothes, and his clothes became white and glistening, and his face shone as the light. It was the radiation of God through his flesh. In a few instances, God permitted me to see Christians thus illuminated in a measure. I am acquainted with a brother in Chicago whose face is illuminated all the time. There is a radiation from it. His countenance is never seen in a condition of depression, as if the pores of his flesh are closed. There is an unmistakable something that marks him as one through whom the Spirit of God radiates. God radiated through the purified personality of Jesus, so that even his very clothes became white and glistening. Christians are Christ men and stand in the stead of Jesus. The Word of God says to the Christian and the church, "You are his body." 1 Corinthians 12:27. The accumulated company of those who know Jesus, who really have God's life within them, are the body of Christ in the world. And through that body of Christ, all the ministry of Jesus is operative. The nine gifts of the Holy Ghost are the divine equipment of God by which the church, his body, is forever to continue to do the works of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 12:8 through 10 says, "To one is given the word of wisdom, to another the gifts of healing, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another interpretation of tongues, etc." All these gifts Jesus exercised during his earthly ministry. The people who exercise these gifts create another practical Christ on earth, the church, which is his body, Christ being the head. When this truth is seen, Christianity will be on a new-old basis. The illumination of God, the consciousness of our position in the world, the consciousness of our responsibility as the representatives of Christ, places upon us as Christ men, Christ women, the burden of Christ for a lost world. Of necessity, this lifts the heart and spirit into a new contact with God and the consciousness that if a son of God, if a Christ man to the world, then one must be worthy of his Christ. The only way to be worthy is to be in the will of Jesus. Men have mystified the gospel. They have philosophized the gospel. The gospel of Jesus is as simple as can be. As God lived in the body and operated through the man Jesus, so the man on the throne, Jesus, operates through his body, the church, in the world. Even as Jesus himself was the representative of God the Father, so also the church is the representative of Christ. As Jesus yielded himself unto all righteousness, so the church should yield herself to do all the will of Christ. Mark 16:17 says, "These signs shall follow them that believe." Not the preacher or the elder or the priest, but the believer. The believer shall speak in new tongues. The believer shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. The believer is the body of Christ in the world. The word says in Obadiah 21, "There shall be saviors in Zion." As Jesus took us and lifted us up to the Father, and as he takes the church and lifts it up to the Father, and gave himself to sanctify and cleanse it, So the Christian takes the world and lifts it up to the Christ, to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The wonderful simplicity of the gospel of Jesus is itself a marvel. The wonder is that men have not understood always the whole process of salvation. How is it that men mystified it? Why is it that we have not lived a better life? Because our eyes were dim, and we did not see and we did not realize that God left us here in this world to demonstrate Him, even as the Father left Jesus in the world to demonstrate the Father. The man with Christ in him, the Holy Ghost, is greater than any other power in the world. Other natural and evil powers are less than God. Even Satan himself is a lesser power. Man with God in him is greater than Satan. That is the reason that God says to the believer, he shall cast out devils. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, 1 John 4:4. The Christian, therefore, is a ruler. He is in the place of dominion, the place of authority, even as Jesus was. Jesus, knowing that all power has been given unto him, took a basin and a towel and washed his disciples' feet. His power did not exalt him. It made him the humblest of all men. So the more a Christian possesses, the more of a servant he will be. God is the great servant of the world, the one who continually gives to men the necessity of the hour. Through his guidance and direction of the laws of the world, he provides for all the needs of mankind. He is the great servant of the world, the greatest of all servants. Jesus, knowing that all power had been committed to him, and as God gave the power to Jesus, so Jesus commits through the Holy Ghost, by his own Spirit, all power to man. I tell you, beloved, it is not necessary for people to be dominated by evil, nor by evil spirits. Instead of being dominated, Christians should exercise dominion and control other forces. Even Satan has no power over them, only as they permit him to have. Jesus taught us to close the mind, to close the heart, close the being against all that is evil, to live with an openness to God only, so that the sunlight of God shines in, the glory radiance of God shines in, but everything that is dark is shut out. Jesus said, take heed how you hear, Luke 8:18, and not what you hear. Take heed how you hear. He didn't say take heed to what you hear. One cannot help what he hears, but he can take heed how he hears. It is something offensive to the Holy Spirit, and the knowledge of God shut the doors of your nature against it, and it will not touch you. The Christian lives as God in the world, dominating sin, evil, and sickness. I would to God he would be lifted up until Christians would realize their privilege in Christ Jesus. Oh, bless God, it is coming. By the God within, we cast out or expel from the being that which is not godlike. If you find within your heart a thought of sin or selfishness, by the exercise of the Spirit of God within you, you cast that thing out as unworthy of a child of God, and you put it away from you. Beloved, so should we do with our bodies. So must we do when sickness or the suggestion of sickness is present with us. Cast it out as evil. It is not of God. Dominate it. Put it away. It is not honoring to Jesus Christ that sickness should possess us. We do not want disease. We want to be God's. Small g. Jesus said, I said ye are gods. John 10:34. Of gods, small g, in the world that Jesus wants the Christian to live. Evil is real. The devil is real. He was a real angel. Pride changed his nature. God is real. And the operation of God within the heart changes the nature until we are new men in Christ Jesus, new creatures in Christ. The power of God, the Holy Ghost, is the spirit of dominion. It makes one a god, small g. It makes one not subject to the forces of the world or the flesh or the devil. These are under the Christian's feet. John said, Beloved, now are we the sons of God. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, God wants us to come, to stay, and to live in that abiding place, which is the Christian's estate. This is the heavenly place in Christ Jesus. This is the secret place of the Most High. The Word of God gives us this key. It says, the wicked one touches him not. 1 John 5:18. When the Spirit of God radiated from the man Jesus, I wonder how close it was, how close it was possible for the evil spirit to come to him. Do you not see that the Spirit of God is as destructive of evil as it is creative of good? Possible for the evil one to come near him. And I feel sure Satan talked to Jesus from a safe distance. It is the same with the Christian. It is not only in his spirit that he needs to be rid of sin, not only in his soul that he is to be pure. It is God in the body that the individual needs for a well body. It is just God that he needs. The complaint of the devil concerning Job was, Hast thou not made a hedge about him? Job 1:10. Satan was not able to get through that hedge to touch the man of God. Don't you know that the radiation of the Spirit of God around the Lord Jesus was his safeguard? The artists paint a halo around the head of Jesus. They might just as well put it about his hands, feet, and body, because the radiation of the Spirit of God is from all the being. Now the Spirit radiates from the Christian's person because of the indwelling Holy Ghost and makes him impregnable to any touch or contact of evil forces. He is the subjective force himself. The Spirit of God radiates from him as long as his faith in God is active. Resist the devil and he will flee from you, James 4:7. But the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil, 1 John 3:8. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, even our faith, 1 John 5:4. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God, 1 John 5:5. The reason people become sick is the same reason that they become sinful. They surrender to the suggestion of the thing that is evil, and it takes possession of the heart. Sickness is just the same. There is no difference. The suggestion of oppression is presented, and becoming frightened, the disease secures a foothold. Quote, In the name of Jesus Christ, I refuse to have this thing, end quote. For 15 years, God has let me move among all manner of contagious diseases, and I have never taken one of them. The devil could not make me take them. Prayed with smallpox patients when the pustules would burst under the touch of my hands. I have gone home to my wife and babies and never carried contagion to them. It was, quote, in the secret place of the Most High was, quote, in the secret place of the Most High. Indeed, contact with diphtheria, smallpox, leprosy, and even bubonic plague and the whole range of diseases was in the line of my daily work in connection with the work of the Apostolic Church of South Africa. Behold, Jesus said, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Luke 10:19. So now the prayer of the apostle comes to us with a fresh understanding. 1 Thessalonians 5:23-24. Paul said, I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless, without corruption or defilement, unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calls you, who also will do it. Then Dr. Lake prayed a consecration prayer. My God and Father, in Jesus' name I come to thee. Take me as I am. Make me what I ought to be, in spirit, in soul, in body. Give me power to do right. If I have wronged any, to repent, to confess, to restore. No matter what it costs, wash me in the blood of Jesus, that I may now become thy child and manifest thee in a perfect spirit, a holy mind, and a sickless body. Amen. Powerful, powerful, powerful words. Hallelujah. Powerful words. From a man, a strong man, preaching a strong man's gospel. God bless you today. I don't know about you, but just reading these words today, my spirit feels built up. My soul has had courage breathed into it. My body has a fresh determination to stand against any onslaught of sickness and disease. Be healed today. Be encouraged. Oh, hallelujah. Be lifted up in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Till next time, this is Ann Winter, signing off here at the Zoe Radio Network.
God's love for you goes on and on. What other hearts have failed? This love again from Calvary's cross, where faith arise as I give you what I know. Well, I know there's a God.